About you got everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, longtime professor and former city councilman for the city of Compton, former school board member and former college board trustee. We want to welcome you to tonight's show, where we're going to discuss immigration and incarceration and homelessness. We want to welcome Dr. Charles Alexander out of Chicago, psychologist, clinical psychologist. We want to welcome Brother Shirawa, deep philosophy, Rastafarian. And we want to welcome Brother Mashinda from Louisiana and the good doctor with his prescriptions for good mental, spiritual health. And also Brother Rasha Key, the host of Community Education Network, who provides us this platform every Tuesday to discuss critical issues. And we're going to say welcome to all of you that see this program. So, Brother Charles, you were talking about immigration in Chicago. So you were saying that they don't take care of the needs. Well, you know, there's
well,
no...
So a couple of things that they're just getting wrong off the bat is in terms of trying to manage that first wave, the mayor, the first term black mayor, was like literally commandeering community centers that were operational with community programs, shutting down the community programs with the intent on moving the immigrants into those community centers. And so that was a problem. It was a problem, A, because there were community centers that were actively engaged in programming, and B, he hadn't, you know, like prior to this, he hadn't done anything. You know, he had a campaign strategy, but he hadn't done anything to address the homeless crisis that already existed, right? And so he wasn't really prepared to manage that. Folks were able to get a few injunctions to interrupt, you know, kind of the utilization of some of those community centers, but I'm not sure if any of them, I'm not sure if all of them have gone back to functioning as the community centers. I'd imagine there could be some immigrants in some of them. And then, so that was the issue. And then the next issue, the emergent issue now, is that the city and the state and the feds are talking about expedited work permits for the new arrivals, when you have people who've been here for, you know, 10 and 15, 20 years, who still don't have their work permits. And so they're saying, how, you know, after all of this time, we've been paying taxes, we've been working, we've been doing whatever, trying to figure out how to get permits and how to get whatever, you know, citizenship rights. And now we have more people coming, and it's as if they are kind of, they're jumping the line in the effort to kind of manage the constant flow. And so that is providing, you know, quite a challenge for, you know, that's presenting quite a challenge at each level, at the state, at the local, state, and at the federal levels. And like now, all of the city and then all of the adjoining suburban municipalities are now passing ordinances, because these buses are literally just pulling up and unloading folks. And so now they're impounding buses when they come in and don't make any specific arrangements with the local municipalities or the city to drop off in whatever the designated spaces are.
So I mean, how are the people receiving the immigrant?
It seems to be okay. It's you know, people were more mad People haven't been acting out, towards the immigrants, and there's a lot of people who've been trying to provide assistance. People have been mad because of the amount of resources that have been targeted. That, people are like, where'd that money come from? We had existing need that wasn't being addressed. So people are more disgruntled with this, this outlay of resources and, what appears to be just like a, a magical pot of money, let's say,
Well,
because they
they just go to
did.
the print shop and print up and say they borrowed it, but listen. From themselves. But you see the issue is they just spent 200 billion over 200 billion to Ukraine. And another 200 million today on top of the 200 billion that they didn't give to Ukraine. And they're talking about giving Israel another 140 million billion or something for their war. But they don't have a war on homelessness or a war on immigration from the standpoint of facilitation. And now they're having minimum wage increases. So many of these people who are newly arrived didn't even fight for the minimum wage, but they're going to benefit from it, from that standpoint. And so it creates an anxiety that's misguided because if the people didn't hire them, they wouldn't come. And if the people didn't provide the health services and the education, they wouldn't come. But they're doing it, and they're telling the people they don't want them, it's a problem. But they're the ones that want the cheap labor. You understand? And the trafficking and everything else that go with it, and won't provide the resources to deal with the problem. Because the people that are unhoused, with 200 billion, you could build something and do something with higher health keep than little villages or whatever you have to do. But the whole game is to make you think they some they against it. The Congress has have not never dealt haven't recently dealt with immigration of policies. They keep saying, it's too hard, it's too complicated. No matter what administration, Democrat or Republican, it's too complicated. So they use it as a political issue. You see what
And
I'm
I mean,
saying?
and you also addressed that other point, is that it's a cheap labor source. And so that there's, so regardless of what, regardless of what the Republicans say about, they don't want this occurring, and regardless of what the Democrats say about what they want to do to be, welcoming, neither group has been addressing the fact that there's, because so maybe about 3 months ago, I came across an article, that was just talking about the increase in, child labor in the midst of this onslaught, because that's what's occurring. And so, so you got these factories and, these other agricultural entities who are hiring, regardless of whatever kind of documentation that they have, because the people are available to work, and paying them pennies. If they're paying them at all. And so that stuff is already occurring. It never stopped occurring. And so it's occurring at an even higher level now. And it's a part of the conversation that's not being had, that, big business is already benefiting from the cheap labor source. And that's not just in Chicago. That's wherever the people can manage to get to.
And that's one of the issues that if they would spend that money that they spend on war helping these poor countries get their economy together.
Well,
People wouldn't leave because they got boycotts and blockades on El Salvador, and those are people come in and Venezuela. They create the economic hardship and Cuba.
United States destabilized each of those countries.
And I saw today there were people from Senegal, brothers and sisters with their families coming, So Brother Shawara, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, what's your take on the issue of immigration and homelessness in the United States, unhoused people?
Well, I think it's a creative situation. It's a they invent.
Created.
Yeah, they invented the whole thing. You know, everything that we see going on in the world today is an invention. It comes out of the mind of inferior intelligence and the process of descending or descent, bringing the higher intelligent people to a lower state so that they can appear, so that they themselves can appear to be intelligent. So I think this is just everything is by process. And I think this is just a time factor, you know, in terms of, and I say that because we didn't just get here, you know, if there was, there's, if you go back, go backwards, then maybe, you know, understand that what we're going through today is not, isn't, didn't just happen today. It actually is just where we're at in the situation. And it has not changed because those behind it are the ones, you know, referred to as they, you know, which are the Caucasians of the earth and their ancestors, have done a despicable job. And this is just another way of them to continue in their despicable practices. And those Caucasians that are here today are enjoying the fruits of those behaviors of their foreparents and their ancestors. And the mere fact that they are not addressing it with any authentic sincerity shows that they themselves have not even evolved into a higher level of their own selves. And all the people that are suffering are indigenous people of the earth. And it's not just happening today. From the advent of the Caucasian coming in contact with the indigenous and aboriginal people of the planet, those indigenous and aboriginal people of the planet have been suffering. It's not nothing I'm saying. I mean, history has recorded this fact. You know, so we here today in the 21st century, there's nowhere else for us to go. Marcus Garvey said, the black man would not know himself until his back is against the wall. Marcus Garvey said that no one knows when the hour of Africa's redemption cometh. It is in the wind.
The
It is
world.
coming one day like a storm. It will be here. When that day comes, all Africa will stand together. So, you know, when we're talking about prison and we're talking about recidivism and we're talking about educational system, that's all a part of the matrical destruction of the Aboriginal indigenous people across the planet. You know, so you know, we have to get a new mindset. Because there's
Okay.
nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else for us to go physically. We're
All
trapped.
right. Hold that point. Doc, you have any comment on immigration on home unhoused people?
Actually, I just kind of agree with what this brother just said, Chihuahua, Chihuahua. I don't think it's an issue. Nothing's going on, man, because like he just said, our back is not against the wall right now. It's not a problem, man, because everything is still functioning. Everything is running. So there's no issues going on in the world because we're still running. And I say that because I reflect back on COVID. COVID was an issue. Everything shut down. Couldn't go to the house, stores, everything was crazy. Everything was shut down. Our backs was against the wall. Until we get in that kind of situation, man, there's no issues going on. Everything's going to be the same. Nothing's changing. You know, we're still running. You can get up and go to the store. Banks are open. Stores are open. Government's still functioning. So there's no issues going on right now.
What about you, Mashinda? How's Louisiana dealing with homeless, unhoused, and incarceration, mass incarceration?
Oh, it's a whole other country down here, with mass incarceration. You're in a slave state here. I just want to speak on it overall. I'm a Californian that's a transplant here in Louisiana. And
And immigration, I mean, immigration. Go ahead.
Louisiana doesn't have an immigration problem. Okay, you got blacks and whites down here. You got a few Mexicans that are infiltrating and finding their peace. But this is the South. This is where I'm at. Black folks. This is a black town. You got white flight going on in the town that I'm at. But it's Compton all over again. You got white flight and blacks that is slowly trying to assume their position. But my take on the immigration thing, it's like you look at any hot button item, any topic, like say you talk about oil. They say by 2030, they it's going to be they're going to stop. What is it, 2030 or one of the years coming up soon? They're going to stop. They don't stop making gas powered cars and stuff like that. So you got an entity, like the Saudi kings and the different people who have investments in the in oil. They're going to fight for it. So it's economics. I remember I worked a dozen years in the criminal justice system, and what, I remember back in the day where the immigrants had the Mexican illegals or whatever you want to call them. They got all kind of names, but the people who crossed the border, who came over, they incarcerated them. And so they used to be housed with the sheriff's department, like it was. So in other words, it's all about chopping up the pie, it's like the budget. So the probation departments where I was at took over the immigration part, so they were warehousing the people who came across the border. They would put them in and they would supervise them, had no training and no understanding about immigrants and the whole immigration problem. But it was the budget. The money was being funded, channeled toward that particular department. In other words, they were the new overseers, and so everybody's competing to take, like it, with homelessness, there's grants, there's money and things like that. So I'm saying I just believe that overall, it's somebody's benefiting from that on a large scale. It's like private prisons. You got people benefiting from that. You got people benefiting from homelessness. You got people benefiting from the immigration issue. Who's going to warehouse them? Who's going to take care of them? So if it's your department, if your it's your government agency that's in charge of it, they're going to be able to get pay raises and things like that. It's nothing but human beings that's running this situation. So it boils down to economics. They don't give a damn about the human, the care for people. It's just like with the oil and anything else. They pretty much just about the bottom line, making money. And so I think that they so in Louisiana, we don't they don't have you have some folks that come from other countries, but there's no immigration situation going on here. This is Trump land. These people is ultra conservative. We got a super majority in the state government, right wing conservative governor and House and Senate. So, there's no problem here. They're gonna cut up the pie and delete programs and do all kind of things over the next 4 years. So, but it's no, like Doc say, brother doctors say, they nobody cares, man. These folks, it's all about the bottom line. It's all about making money. So if the probation department is in charge of incarcerating or overseeing, or if it, let's or if we're building the fences, if I'm the fence company that's going to build the fence and all that, I'm benefiting from it. So I don't have no faith in any of these government officials and what they, you know, and what they don't believe in humanity, like Brother Rasa Key say about the humanity. There is no humanity, man. These folks, they got a God complex, brother.
That's what the last point said. Okay. Brother Rasa Key.
Yeah, I have a saying. If money is the value, the human is devalued. So basically, what Brother Chiwara is talking about, coming anew or returning to a mindset that made sense at some point in life. And that's what I'm about. It's a created situation, like people were saying. You have immigrants because where they were living, they were ostracized. The other governments, world power governments, go to their land, exploit their land, turn fractions against each other, and then you have a war-torn country and like civil war or whatever. So these people have to leave. So they come over here and they come to other places where they can seek refuge to be okay. And you know, it's a like temptation say a ball of confusion, you know, and that's where the world is today, you know. So I think the purpose of education and what we do is to whoever wants to use the resource can look at the resource and see that we have some educators, some community people that want to change things, be a change agent. So I'm with Brother Chiwara on that. You just change the mindset because it needs to be changed. It's not healthy. Okay. So
yeah. You know, each issue is a complex issue. It's very complex. When you start dealing with the unhoused, there are many reasons why people are unhoused. You know, some are elected to be that. And, you know, I choose because I, you know, for whatever reason, I don't want to be in a house. I, you know, I don't want to have to pay bills and stuff like that. Veterans are good at that, you know, because they used to living outside in their training. You mean, you got some cats with tents that's more sophisticated than some homes. You know, you got electricity, they got, you know, they figure out, they get generators, they do their thing, man. And then at the same time, you got mental illness. You know, you see them walking down the street, talking to themselves, half naked, some of them. You know, panhandling, you know, panhandling becomes a vocation. You know, some people think they get $60-$70 a day. Some get even more than that. You know, they're mobile. They go to different places than panhandle, whichever one is prosperous. And then at the same time, you know, you have families. And some of these people are not on the streets. They living in RVs and living in cars and stuff. And, you know, you don't know who is doing it because they're kids at school that's coming from different situations. And you got runaways. You got people running from domestic violence and, you know, I mean, it's a complex issue. I'm not making excuses for the unhoused, but I'm letting you know that you can. It's just like the guys that rather be in prison than on the streets. You know, hey, I know the prison. You know, it's my house, I know how to function in the prison. I know how to incarcerate it, and so they. You know, they say, man, I don't want, you know, I remember I was working in juvenile hall. We let kids out. You know, the court would let them out. They go home, they run away and come back. Knock on, I want to be back in here. I don't want to be at my people's house. Maybe they're being sexually abused or physically abused at the house or neglected. You have all those issues, man. It's a complex issue with regards to the homelessness, because there's different levels. They break up these camps and they go somewhere else to make a camp. You know, Ted Hayes, he had a house and he lived with the homeless. His brother, he's Jewish now. he was on TV a lot. They busted him for fraud for a little bit, taking money that meant for the homeless. But he was married to a white girl living in Riverside. But the point is, he was one of the faces of advocacy for some village they built in Venice. And then they made them take it down. But anyway, like I said, it's a very complex issue. Everybody's not the same while they're homeless or unhoused. And then at the same time, you got to deal with the mental illness. You got to deal with people that were incarcerated, got out, and, running from their parole officer, probation officer, don't want to take them piss tests. they, how you gonna find them up there if they up the homeless? Most of them want to look for family members to take care of them. They stumbling grounds. It's a lot of issues out there, bro. But at the same time, this country don't address it. Because there ain't no money in it, like Shara was saying, and like Brother Doctor was saying, there's big money in war. They thought we were going to spend $200 billion to Ukraine and to buy weapons. And who are they going to buy the weapons from? The same people that gave them the $2 billion is going to come back here and buy it from United States munition plants and military plants and arsenals and things of this nature. They ain't buying it from Russia. They sure ain't buying it from Israel, and they ain't buying it from Japan or China. They're buying it from the United States. And that's one of the reasons that contribute to the high employment in this country is war. That's a big business, as the doctor be saying. It's not no joke. When you got troops all over the planet and on every continent, you got troops for strategic and military events, and you're a minority. Now you're a minority on the earth, but you're the biggest weapon of purveyors of violence and impositions and setting up new governments that corrupt governments that do what you say. CIA payroll and things of this nature for major corporations. It's a deep, as Shara was saying, and so it's a complex issue. When it comes to immigration, it's the same thing. The Catholic Church has been the biggest sanctuary. They're the ones that took the Native American and turned them into Mexican, building missions and all up and down Santa, all over the country. You understand? And what do? They become a member of the church, and when they get on their feet, what do? Give money. Give money, oh man, you gotta look deeper than what is shown. It's like three card Molly. You're trying to find the red card, and it ain't even down there on the ground, and so look at the people. They just want to go spend some money. They're still unhappy for the holidays. I'm doing bad, but you go, they spend $1,000. On one gift and pay for it the whole year on credit, the next year. It's insane. And then wine. I ain't got enough. Because greed and envy is what drive system among this general population. You never get a car,
Brother Chihuahua had his hand up a few times. He wanted to say
something. Go ahead. Go ahead. Good, Sharawa.
Oh yes. Yeah, you know, it's insane, but it's perfect. It's
That's
a perfect system,
perfect.
as insane as it is. You know, Brother DX made an excellent presentation yesterday evening,
I
and
heard.
that presentation from myself was nothing more than a piece of the super puzzle. The super puzzle is what takes place inside of each and every one of us. And we're all seeking for the next piece of the puzzle, which is us, to make us complete. And what he did yesterday, last night, was like, it really brought a lot of things that I've already been circling around in my cosmos to form a even perfect picture, a more solid picture, when he spoke about the quantum field. Because it confirmed a lot of things that what I was talking about when I speak about life as my religion, my culture, my tradition, and the name of my God is righteousness. We have to come to a point that cannot be disturbed, that at one time in our journey had been disturbed. And we have had to readjust and readjust and readjust and readjust. And today, even we're still readjusting to come to the foundation. Now, there ain't but two systems in existence. One is a system that is a dysfunctional system, and the other system is a system that is a functional system. Two kind of people. Some are dysfunctional and some are functional. Some of us are dysfunctional right out, and everybody knows it. Like we talk about mental illness, and we see that it's evident. But some of us are dysfunctional, undiagnosed, or which is called functional mentally ill people. But they function, see, within that dysfunctional system. So that's what we're faced with. And at this juncture, you know, when we say our backs against the wall, we're speaking about what is it that we have done, that we have, that we need to, that we have not done, that we need to do to address these situations, like we speak about the immigration problem situation. But in reality, Texas belongs to Mexico. See, and once we understand that Texas belongs to Mexico, then America at one point was an open country, where people could immigrate back and forth in rhythm and in harmony, and it was not a big deal. But then the other folks came along, and their principles and their morals and their ethics were like way left field or way right field. So their balance was a balance rooted in the negative aspects of life. Then you have some people whose balance is rooted in the absolute positiveness of life. And either one of those balances does not amount, is not really a good balance, because you can't just dwell on positivity and you can't just dwell on negativity. So the true balance then would become an even balance of negative and positive, because that's how life is designed. So when you go outside of the rules and the regulation, the laws and the foundation of life itself, you're either going to be on the positive side and saying, oh, you know, you're going to be at war with negativism. You're either going to be on the negative side, well balanced in your negativity, and your fight will be against anything that's positive, all ignoring the zero balance between positive and negative, which is the God essence, which is the life formation, which is the quantum field that Brother DX was speaking about last night. And he made a beautiful link between that. I mean, I just admire that whole show. That show was so powerful for those who was able to grasp what was happening. You know, it's so fundamentally real, because we're at the point now where there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. We can't say let's vote, because we've been voting. And nothing has changed. If anything, it's gotten worse. We can't say let's boycott, because we've done that. We can't say let's march. We've done that. We can't say let's join the system. We've done that. We can't say let's fight for the country. Let's fight for our good. This is America. Let's fight for America. We've done that. Came back when we were still niggas. So we can't talk about, let's get into the education system and change the system, because we've done that. We got black teachers in there. Nothing has changed for our children. So we've married their women. We have married their men. We have allowed their men and their women to marry our men and women. We have bought into the destruction of that quantum field, which is our connection to nature, to creation, to ourselves, to truth, to righteousness. And so there's nowhere else for us to turn, even though we see people doing it, you know, business as usual. We're still out here functioning. No, that's an illusion. We're not really functioning. We are not functioning. And I'm telling you, all it takes is for somebody to throw a cog into that wheel, and you'll see. Then all of a sudden, what we think was functioning becomes totally dysfunctional. None of our celebrities are worth anything to us. None of them. None of our athletes are worth anything to us. None of them. All of our professional people, I'm talking about black people now. I'm talking about black situation. So for me, it's like, I don't even want to talk about the solution, because the solution is a radical one. The solution has to be radical and has to be fearless. Radical and fearless. And it's not even a question of economics and finances, because we got everything. We got it all. We got the best athletes, the best movie stars, the best scientists, the best doctors, the best everything. The best businessmen, people, the best mathematicians. We got all the resources, the most abundant resources. We got everything. So now you see, it's not about the external world anymore. It's what are we doing? We don't need prisons, because prisons do nothing. They just lock people up. And when they come out, there's nothing out here for them, because number one, the system does not desire for them to be reformed. They desire for them to go right back in. And we as a people has prepared nothing for our people coming out of there. I'm not talking about the Chinese people that are locked up, or the white folks, Caucasians that are locked up, or any other race of people that's locked up. We don't have to be concerned with that. We're talking about black young men and young women that are locked up, incarcerated, and coming out. We have not, what we have done, we have visited jails and prisons to talk to them. That's all we've done. We've been doing that. That's nothing new. And so what we need to do is not stop doing that. We need to continue to do that, but we need to finish up on the outside. And we need to take those with money, those with financial strength, those with intelligence, those with knowledge, those with the where it all, with the ability and the capability to do things, to address these situations without the permission of government or any other ethnic group. We need to be able to take care of our business. And that's why we find ourselves in this horrible state and this situation, because we are not doing that. And before we do that, we will fight and argue and bitch and moan and groan and try to be the best, the biggest man in the room and all this foolishness. And that's what's going on. So we have to be able to accept things for what it is. And then we have to turn around and unite ourselves together in perfect harmony and unity. And then we have to be courageous and fearless and go about our business. We free. Let's be free. Let's live free.
Yeah. And Brother Charles, you there?
Yes, sir.
How do you respond to that analysis?
I generally agree with it. I think those things that we've done, and we've had some, you know, any inkling of success, I think we have to continue to do those things. And in all of those other areas where it has been other than successful, and in fact, it looks downright dire, we have to acknowledge that, so that we got to be right-sided and honest about the nature of the situation. Mm-hmm. And as we can get into that space, then we continue to fight and we continue to resist. That I think that's about as good as it gets for us here, is resistance. That's the battle. And it's unfortunate that we don't understand it as such. You know, we still got so many people who predicate their relative success on, you know, their proximity to the enemy. And so and that presents the ever looming threat, because as addicted to we are to media and media personalities, you know, when we see folks who look like us have money and then some presumed level of acceptance, that keeps us moving in that direction, mm-hmm. as opposed to being able to honestly say that with all of that money, so like once we account for all of the money that we think we got about $17,000 median wealth compared to $170,000 median mm-hmm. household wealth. We ain't got Jack Dooley squat. And so that's the numbers, you know, that's the numbers across the piece. And that's once you even are, you know, once you're adding, you know, whatever we consider the super duper rich black folks, they're pulling that thing up to 17,000. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we got a hard fight. We have to acknowledge it's a fight. And part of that is we got to move beyond stating the obvious. And so we're still in a space where we're like, you know, they ain't teaching our kids. Well, why are we still asking them to teach our kids? We know they the enemy. We know they're not going to teach our kids. And so, but we're still in those places. You know, we're still in those places. We got food deserts. Okay, well, why don't we work harder with black farmers to create these networks so that we can move fresh fruits and vegetables all over the place? You know, and it's not that we don't have farmers markets, is that, you know, we're not utilizing some of the infrastructure that we have in order to get these things done, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be realistic about this thing that we're in. We have to look at the fact that, so one of the things I think is, like, we don't believe that what is happening in the Middle East, what is happening in Gaza and Israel, we don't believe that can happen here, even though it's happening here, because it don't look the same. We don't, you know, we just don't really think that the government's, like, 2 years ago, we thought the government was killing us. But today, we don't think the government is killing us. And this is how confused that we get.
Mm.
So we've been screaming genocide. We've been in the streets more than we ever been in the streets, right? We've been in the streets from 2014 on through the pandemic. So we had a 6-year run where we was in the streets screaming genocide. But we ain't screaming genocide no more. Mm-hmm. We're a year and a half out of the pandemic, and I ain't heard a whole lot of black folks talk about genocide. Mm-hmm. But we look at what's going on over there. Oh, that's genocide. But no, what's going on here is genocide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They just literally killing us softly. Mm-hmm. And so we got to be more aware. And we got to keep fighting. We got to keep resisting. But it starts with just acknowledging that this is the nature of our existence here.
Okay. Brother Doc, you got a response to Sharara and Dr. Alexander?
No, I agree on what the gentleman said, especially Sharara. We tried everything, man. We did it all, and nothing changed. You know, He put it perfectly, man. Beautiful. We did it all, man. No one else has done more than we have as a people, man. And, you know, we intermingle with just about every race on the planet. Everybody knows our culture in the world. Everybody loves our culture. Even when they say they don't, they do. And it's not going to ever change, man. You know, one thing that Brother Charles said, you know, the farmer's market, man. Your farmer's market is your backyard. You know, I don't know where Brother Joe at, but, you know, hey, you got to start growing your own stuff, man. I've done it. It's very successful. One thing I learned, man, you know, you only buy seeds once. Because, you know, the seeds they sell in the stores are being treated with radiation. So what I learned is, you know, when you do your harvest, you save some of those fruits and you save those seeds and you regrow those seeds. And I think it takes two seasons or three seasons for that to go back to natural. Your fruit, your vegetables, your fruits to go back to natural. And, you know, I've got seeds that I got stored that's, you know, third, fourth generation. I just got, you know, seeds stored. And I know how to grow. You know, anybody can grow no matter where you're at. As long as you got a container and some dirt and some fertilizer, you know, grow your own stuff, get your weapons, and just, you know,
it's your weapon.
you gotta have a weapon, man. You know, you gotta have some weapons, man. I don't have one, but, you know, there's a drilling kit, you know, you can get a kit, you can drill down for wells. It basically is just a pipe. Some pipes and a sledgehammer. And, you know, water is most important. And like I said, man, something ever goes wrong, man, everything goes dark. The first thing you got to think about is water, food, you know. So, but yeah, like you said, Rod, you're spending all this money over there and, you know, the 800 billion or 800 million, what you said, man, and you start off with homeless. And not spending money here, so they don't care. You know, like Charlie said, man, they don't care. It's not, we're not going to do anything now, man, that we haven't done that's going to change anything. So you just got to kind of start looking out for yourself, man. Just make sure you know how to grow your food, how to find water. You got your shelter, and you'll be okay. You'll be all right.
All right. Machinda, are you still there? What about you, Rashiki? You have any response?
Hey, what have you said before, Professor Ra? You said the black man has the moral vanguard of the planet.
Yeah, black people, yeah.
Yeah. So if it is to be, it's up to us, you know, to change things around from the current state. I'm an advocate for changing the mental state, because the things that most of us do don't make any sense. You know, I mean, we do a whole bunch of things knowingly that it's not the right thing to do, but we do it. So that's mental illness in itself. You know, you take one thing, you drink liquor, you're drinking fire, and we still do it. I'm talking about as a collective, and do it on a consistent basis and keep doing it. And keep doing the same things that don't make sense. So we definitely have to change the mindset. That's for sure. So that's what I'm about.
Okay.
And you know, you have to be an example of what you recognize that's going on here. Okay. And I'm doing my best to be an example. In the process of changing to that person that we should be. But go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly, as we say in Kawi. You know, I think everybody has their own vision of what's going on to a certain degree, their own analysis and their own solution to the issues and the programs. And I respect everybody's opinions and everybody's vision. I just have a slight different one to a certain degree. And that is that I'm more optimistic. I see change and progress. I see struggle, from people that were in the Holocaust of enslavement to where we are today is a change. But we didn't get here by thinking that what the oppressor wanted us to think, that there's no hope, that there's no nothing. I see organizations out there striving, and they have to beg for money. People give money to church, but they don't give money to a lot of philanthropic organizations. So a lot of people doing things individually. I see athletes doing good things individually. I see movements, black movements, different organizations, from the reparation organization movement to the civil rights movement to the black power movement. All of them had progress. And we wouldn't be where we are today. We'd still be in slavery. We'd still be denied education. It's a struggle. I mean, they crack back on you, of course. They're cracking back on Iran right now for them hostages they took in the 70s. You know, they're cracking back. I mean, and Dr. Alexander said they're doing the same thing here, as Sharawa said. Yeah, this country was the Native American, and they displaced them and killed them and genocided them. They're the first Holocaust in America, of North America. You know, in Central America and South America, all of them had Holocaustic experiences. And Chihuahua's right, the white guy is behind it. Here's Russia and the United States abstaining in the United Nations together, working together, but they're fighting, sponsoring wars in Ukraine against each other. But they voted together in the United Nations not to, both of them abstained, water down the United Nations position on genocide and condemnation of Israel for what they're doing to the people in Gaza. What? Russians are white and America's white. The European Union is white, and they're the minority on the planet, but they got the majority weapons. And they make sure no people with minorities get weapons. But the Palestinians been fighting for over 60, 70 years, throwing rocks. They have not given up. And we never gave up for our freedom struggle. Yeah, it's a struggle. Yeah. And it looks bleak. You go out there and say, how can we win with the army we got? You know what I mean? The women, fingernails so long they can't even wipe their butt with them. You understand? Gotta get a stick. You understand? Spending $200 for a hairdo that they mess up the same night when they get screwed. I mean, all that, you know, all of that. But that's the game. That's their mentality. That's being comfortable in your oppression. But some of us are not comfortable. And some of us strive. Freedom don't come easy. You got to pay a price. We may not benefit. Our ancestors didn't benefit from what the freedoms we got. The brothers and sisters that the Nat Turners, the Harriet Tubmans, did not benefit. The Martin Luther King didn't benefit. He said, I may not get there, but we as a people will get to the promised land. It's spiritual. So I got to stay optimistic. You know, I see brothers out there working hard, man. I see brothers trying to help the homeless, collecting clothes, and doing what they can. You know, people just do what they can. And I realize we don't get national press. You know, they give you national press when they're beating on you and demonizing you. But there are some great programs out there, man, that in every city where black people are, there are young people, other people with education, as Sharawa was saying. Yeah, the best, they do things. Man, W. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, he did things. Man, he built an organization, employed black people. And yeah, the government came after him. They come after all of us. Even if you ain't doing nothing, they arrest you. So, you know, I mean, you're always under suspect. Once you know who you are and where you are, you know how to function. Yeah, I mean, Hey man, it's a beautiful thing when you're in struggle and you see the others struggling. Like Hakeem Mahadibuti said in Chicago, you don't never send your kids to be taught by someone that don't love them. But you teach your kids how to get as much education out of the people that don't love them. You understand? That vocational education, like a college degree, still it, hustle it. You understand? Get credentials to get in position to help your people. Now, a lot of people get in position don't help their people. But we can't worry about them. What about the brother and the sister that is trying to give you some game and work with you? But everybody has their own vision. They see the world. Your world is your vision of the world. That's your world. And but I see a world where Black people are struggling all over the planet, all over this earth, for human and social justice, but to build a world, like I think Sharon said, you know, at one time people lived on the planet. There were no you at one time in Africa. They ain't had no fences. They didn't even have police departments. They didn't even have jails. This is something this European made, but he didn't make it just to punish the ones that do bad. He made it so he can get a bologna contract with the jail. He made it so he can get the milk contract with the jail and the prison. He made it so, like the cat said, if people didn't break laws, we wouldn't have no job. You know, they had to make education compulsory. Why? But for kindergarten all the way up to the 12th grade. Why? It's money. And people wouldn't go to school if they didn't make them. At that age, like you say, they put them in child labor, work them. They used to have that to come up with laws to stop people from using kids at work. But those are the things you got to struggle, man. And I just got to have faith in the people and faith in those that are doing positive things and try to encourage, support, and things of this nature. But I do see change, man. Shit. Man, the woo, boy, we were back in the 40s, the 20s, getting lynched. We stopped the lynching stuff for a good part. They still lynching, but not as pervasive as they used to. And then they come to lynch you, some people shoot them, you know? So it's a different thing. That's it. So, hey, Roski, you gonna tell what's going on tomorrow about Dr. Karanga be here, the history and origin of why. And that's going to be a great show, y'all, if you got time. Tomorrow at 6, the master going to be here. Dr. Marlon Kringer, the Saber Marlon Kringer, he's going to talk about how he created Kwanzaa and what the symbols mean and why it's relevant to our struggle. Because one thing it is, it came from Black people and it didn't get authorization from white folks. They didn't get endorsement. And it's on every major continent. And it's a celebration of ourselves, our family, culture, family, community, and culture. So I hope everybody come in and learn that perspective. All right, Roger Keith.
Yes, we got Brother Chirara here. He's our guest next Wednesday. Okay. Brother Chirara. Brother Chirara, you want to tell us a little bit about next Wednesday?
Is it next Wednesday or Tuesday?
It's on Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you for correcting me on that. I was expecting Tuesday. Now, I'll be talking about the new faculty of thinking, which will be necessary for us to get through this next portal. We cannot take anything into the next sector of our move towards total and true liberation. Can't take anything from this where we're at now in this time and dispensation. Mm-hmm. We are not physically under attack anymore. We are mentally, our minds is what's enslaved. Harriet Tubman freed the body. And many of us, you know, but she said, I could have freed so many more if they only knew they were slaves. And it's not that they didn't know. That's not what she's saying. She's just saying that you know, they just didn't accept what she brought to them. Come, let's go, let's get out of here. Let's change this paradigm. Let's move on. Let's get out of here. So, you know, I'll be talking about the mindset, the new faculty, because a people without their faculty has no power. That's why we find ourselves now discussing immigration. We find ourselves discussing prison. We find ourselves discussing all these things because we have no control. And the only way to get control is to get our faculty back in place. So I'll be discussing that, talking about what it's about, how it works. And I'll be speaking from the Rastaman standpoint. Okay, that's what I am. What I'll be speaking about is what I've gathered and understood in my life tradition and my life movement, my spiritual and physical and mental movement across the plane as a Rasta man. Because as Rastas, we are now in the new faculty. That's what we're doing now. So I'll be breaking that down. And it applies not just to the Rasta people, but to all Black people.
Yes, the last line of Judah.
Yes, all Black people come from
that's beautiful, brother. I love